You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Oh, they are our best friends, aren't they? Our pets. It's time for Pet Tales, and this week we're talking about acupuncture for pets. It's on the mind of our pet expert, Gina Spadafori. First of all, though, Gina, as she is sitting here in our studio, I do want to piggyback onto Elaine Korn's story, as she referenced a story that you broke back in 2007 about melamine in pet food. And since we referred to it, let's catch everybody up on what that was.
Absolutely. There was a company in Canada, Menu Foods, that had unwittingly, as far as we know, used a supplement, a premix that had this adulterated melamine in it, and pets started dying, and pets died in their test pets, and the Eukanuba company, the Menu Foods, which made foods for countless labels, they thought it wasn't much of a problem. I mean, they knew it was a problem, but they thought they had a handle on it. But the Eukanuba company, actually, IAM, said, no, this is a big problem, and if you don't call a recall, we're going to call it ourselves. So that started just waves and waves and waves of food recalls that went on for weeks. Christy Keith and I were bloggers at the time for our Pet Connection blog, which is also the name of Dr. Becker's and my syndicated column with Universal Press. But we had a blog. And for 6 weeks, we worked 24/7. She worked the night shift. I worked the day shift because these things kept coming in waves and the stories kept breaking. And to the best of our knowledge, based on information from the Veterinary Information Network, which is based in Davis, and they took information from their veterinary records, and they thought that up to 40,000 animals had been sickened and probably up to 10,000 killed. That was a guesstimate, never confirmed by the FDA, because there was just no way. Nobody knew, nobody had done necropsies on these pets, but that's pretty much a good guesstimate of what probably happened, because these animals died of liver and kidney failure from the plastic, basically, in pet food. Now, since then, we've had we've certainly had recalls. There's no doubt about that for salmonella and other and molds and whatever, but they've been what I would call normal. Foods are very fragile, and they've actually been normal recalls. I think you want things to be recalled instead of to be sitting on your shelf, but this was fraud and this was crime, and people did go to jail, and thousands of pets died, and it was a black eye in the pet food industry that stayed for, well, for many, many years, but changed things for the better in a way that we'll never bring those pets back, but certainly helps things going forward.
And I think that's what Elaine was getting to in human food, is could people ultimately go to jail for this, as happened in the pet industry?
There were, and Dr. Yamada, who is also here with me, was in China when they had, she was studying in China, she just told me, about when they had melamine in milk in the Chinese, what they were selling domestically in China. And there are many public health experts in this country that believe that there was melamine in human products as well. But since we eat such a varied diet, it never got to a toxic level as it did in a pet, especially a small cat who's eating one diet and one diet only. And it gets very concentrated. So it was, and I personally have no doubt it was at that time the same veterinary vitamin premixes were going to the human food. I have no doubt it was also in those across the board. But because we're bigger and we have a more varied diet, it just never got to a critical level for people.
You're listening to our pet expert, Gina Spadafori. She referenced that we have another guest in studio, and it is Dr. Madeline Yamate. Hello. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You are a UC Davis grad in Western veterinary medicine, but we're talking about acupuncture in pets today. And Gina, you brought this idea forward because you had personal experience with it, but it's less rare than people might think.
Well, I'm going to let Dr. Yamada talk about the number of veterinary acupuncturists, but I will say I'm a skeptic. You have to bring me peer-reviewed science for me to take my pets, or in fact myself, to any medical treatment. And as we all know, especially living in California, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, everything from, you know, crystals and, I know, pyramid power. It's California. We like that crazy stuff. But acupuncture is peer-reviewed by good medical standards. And so it started, the first thing I had a dog many years ago who had cancer, well, not many, but 15, 17 years ago. And I wanted to increase his lifespan and improve the quality of life when I knew I was going to lose him, 11 or 12. But I started with an acupuncturist in addition to my Western veterinarian, and the results were so dramatic. And remember, pets can't have a placebo. They either feel better or they don't. Mm-hmm. That I became a believer in combination with my own research, that I was just pretty stunned. And so I again had a dog who was dying a few months ago, and I again reached out for acupuncture for Dr. Yamada, who actually, I did not know she treated my brother's dog, which is funny. So I had gone out there. And now I have a dog who's recovering from surgery, and she's working with the Western veterinarians on the post-op rehab of my dog Faith's knee surgery.
Dr. Yamada, some people might not know exactly what acupuncture is, so tell us just in a small description how you're using it with pets.
So it's the insertion of fine needles into specific points within the body, and there are different ways of actually doing the acupuncture. So you can do dry needle, which is simply a needle inserted into the body. We can also do what we call aqua acupuncture, which is the injection of liquids in specific acupuncture points again. You can also do electroacupuncture, which we then will connect the dry needles to an electroacupuncture machine, which is battery operated. And that we can modulate both the frequency of the stimulation as well as the amplitude of the wave that's produced by the machine. We can also do different techniques such as hemoacupuncture, where we will intentionally bleed specific points. And we also can do moxibustion, which is the burning of a specific herb called Artemisia RGI, and that will also create specific effects. So you can use the Artemisia specifically on a dry needle and heat the needle, or you can actually warm an acupuncture point. So there are multiple techniques to utilize the fundamental acupuncture.
The way you talk about it makes it sound like it's being used quite often. Cats, dogs, even horses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a modality that's been around for thousands of years. Actually, the first acupuncture veterinary text was written about, I think, 650 or 350 BC by Bolle in China. And it's certainly been used in not just Asia, but also in Europe and also basically, I would assume in pretty much all the continents now, we can do it on multiple species. So anything from even reptiles, it's been done in fish, as well as dogs, cats, horses, and even our pocket pets, which is very commonly performed today.
My experience as a human with acupuncture is that you need to be very still. And when you list all those different animals and species, I'm thinking, how does an animal either know or is capable of remaining still enough for the treatment?
Part of that is going to be the environment. So clearly, it's not a modality that we want to practice in a very busy, active, noisy environment. However, when I was in Florida, we would work on a lot of the racehorses. And the interesting thing is the horses would then learn that the response that they had to our treatment was very calming. And so even if we had a horse that may be a little antsy and we had an appropriate handler, once we were doing the acupuncture, a lot of them would just relax. They would hang their head. They would kind of, you know, give a nice sigh of relief, which from a horse perspective sounds more like, you know, a little lip flopping. And so they can often calm themselves. For some of the other animals that may be a little bit more antsy, like exactly like cats, because they are often
Faith.
Yes,
or my dog Faith.
Gina's dog Faith, who's
Gina's hyper dog Faith.
Yes, my hyper dog Faith.
Faith is very interesting because she came in the front door and we were looking at her going, oh my goodness. I go, Gina, I'm not sure I can do electroacupuncture on her. And Faith gets on the table. We started acupuncturing her with dry needle and she immediately relaxed. And so we were able to actually perform electroacupuncture on her first time.
She fell off the table. She was so relaxed.
And it was for pain control?
It was, well, pain control and for healing.
Correct. Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for Faith, she has a tendon issue. So she actually had a surgical procedure performed. So the acupuncture that we're doing on her is both for pain, also inflammation, and to hopefully heal her recovery time, speed up the recovery time.
Dr. Yamade, why do you do acupuncture on a fish?
I actually haven't. That kind of reminds me of, you know, it might be a little barbecue incident, but there have been some studies in aquariums where they've actually used acupuncture for calming. I was actually invited to the largest aquarium in Europe while I was teaching in Spain. And a colleague of mine who is a professor at the University of Murcia was called in to do a research project with this phenomenal aquarium. And we had been discussing how acupuncture has been performed on all sorts of species. And that was one of the interests that the aquarium veterinarian had, was to see how we could incorporate acupuncture and possibly herbs into their therapeutic protocols.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up, but just a quick note on cost. What kind of money is involved in acupuncture treatments?
Well, it depends on what. When I take Faith to see Dr. Yamada, it's I think we're walking out with $180 to $200 for the acupuncture. That also includes cold laser, though. So
correct.
I'm not sure what cold laser. Topic for a number of time, I guess, but I think the acupuncture alone is in the $75 range per visit, so it's fairly comparable.
Which is a half-hour visit, an hour visit?
90 minutes up to sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on what's needed. There's never any rush.
Okay.
I think you probably leave. It's not like a 10-minute, here's your dog's annual vaccine, which,
yeah,
of course, is no longer
annual.
That
doesn't work with acupuncture anywhere, does it?
No, so it's a minimum of an hour, I think, isn't it, doctor?
It depends on the animal and also what we're treating. For me, it's really important that the animal's calm and relaxed. And so if we have an animal that might be a little more problematic, we do book extra time. But in general, minimum half an hour.
Thank you for the education on acupuncture in pets, something that probably a lot of us never knew about. Nice to have you both in studio.
And of course, we have the Faith on the website.
We do have Faith on the website. We'll have the video and more information about it. Dr. Madeline Yamade, nice to have you with us. Gina Spadafori, always
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And that's our Pet Tales. We do have more for you at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.